This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
My guest Alad Jones is a Welsh singer who is much loved in the UK and around the world. As a boy soprano, he recorded 16 albums in 4 years. Then his singing career was cut dramatically short by the onset of puberty. He went on to study music and did what very few child singing stars have managed by becoming a successful adult baritone. Alad has released 31 studio albums, the most recent of which is One Voice at Christmas. It's a follow-up album to his number one UK hit album, One Voice, which was an ingenious album that combines Alad singing in harmony with long-lost recordings of his younger self. His Australian tour kicks off in Sydney on October 2nd, with one show only at the Melbourne Recital Centre on October 4th. Apart from all of that, he's just a wonderfully warm and funny man. Alad Jones, thank you so much for coming in. Welcome back to Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much. You've having me back.
I know. Do you know what? I often say to performers that come in, oh, we must have you back in the studio sometime. And they'll go, yeah. But you came back.
Yeah, I loved it. Absolutely. I had the best time last time. So there's a lot of pressure on this one.
I knew a bit about you. Obviously, I knew of your younger work as a younger man. And, you know, I'd read a bit about you. I'm a professional, semi-professional.
Of course you are.
But I had no idea just the impact that me talking to you. Every Brit and relative of mine over the age of 70 commented straight away on my Facebook post.
This is what I love about you. With one hand you give and with the other hand you punch massively in
right.
The gut.
Well, now I've had some time to research you more in depth. You're a busy, busy boy.
I'm really lucky. I do a lot of things. There was a broadcaster in UK called Terry Wogan who always said to me, spread yourself as thinly as possible because it makes it more difficult for people to get rid of you.
That's
so
right.
That's exactly what I do.
Eggs, basket, etc.
Exactly. So if I'm not doing the singing, I'm doing the television or the radio. But, you know, singing's always been the first love. I remember the last time I was on, I was talking about little Alad a lot, and I remember what you said. It was my favourite remark ever.
For those who haven't listened, Alad Jones was referring to his album One Voice, where
That's
he sings duets with his
younger voice.
Youngest,
yeah.
And he was referring to his young self as little Alad.
Yes. Which,
and I didn't know that you knew that was a penis reference, but you're well across it now.
I am well across it now. I think I remember saying to you last time that every time I'd been publicising it and talking about myself, little Alad, deep down in my soul, I was thinking about the penis reference, but never came out with it until you said it.
Right.
Bless your heart.
I know.
But yeah, no, it's been a lovely experience.
One of the people that commented on my Facebook when I posted the podcast of our interview last time was an Irish mate of mine, Connor, and he said, I cannot believe you met Alad Jones. I really, really want to meet him just to redress one of my great regrets in life.
Which was?
He was in a plane and he was sat behind you, your wife, the kids and an au pair.
Oh.
And he was going, oh, it's Alad Jones. I can't believe it's Alad Jones. And he got up to go to the bathroom and you got up at the same time. And
you're Did we go in together?
No, but you're walking towards the bathroom and he said, one of my great regrets in life is that I didn't tap you on the shoulder and say, we're walking in the air.
Hey, I get that every flight.
Every flight.
Every flight. So yeah, I would have really, really enjoyed that. I haven't got an au pair though. I'm not that posh. That must have been somebody else. We're walking in the air. We're dancing in the midnight sky. If it was coming to Australia, that must have been about 10 years ago. It was typical of my family.
Mm.
My wife, my two kids then were much younger, and my mum and dad all came.
Oh, you might have been thinking of your mum as the au pair.
Maybe. Yeah, she's going to love that. We'd go for a younger one, not that old. And honestly, typical of my family, okay? I did 10 concerts, I think, like that. Guess how many concerts they came to see?
None.
They all went off and did really nice stuff, like went, you know, saw beautiful Australia.
Yeah.
And literally my parents came to one of my gigs in Newcastle or something like that, or they came backstage before the gig. My dad went into the rider, took four beers, right, and then went.
Bug it off.
Yeah, bug it off. He said, oh, my mum and I are catching a ferry somewhere. And I said, so you just came and stole the band's beer and then left. Brilliant.
Family here for this trip?
No, they're not, because it's such a short one. I'm literally here for a week and a half. I do these three concerts, and then Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, and then fly straight back, because I've got a concert in London the following night.
Right, good God. The jet lag will get you.
Going back is okay. It's this one that's been a little bit of a killer. But, you know, when I was young, it didn't affect me. I've been mad before, where I've landed in Brisbane in the morning and done a concert that night. Mm. It was pretty ropey. But I've done it. Now, I'm awake
Can't
for
do it.
Hours all the time.
I went to Petula Clark's concert in...
I don't judge you.
She is amazing. You know, she's nearly 90.
Yes, I know. She's incredible. I've interviewed her a few times.
Yeah, so I had her on this show, and then I went to a concert in Sydney, and she did Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Perth in consecutive nights.
Wow.
And then just before she kicked off her US tour, she's an amazing...
And also, what a great singer. And a lovely woman.
Do you know, she never had any vocal training, and she doesn't do any warm-up or...
Doesn't she?
No.
Wow. I have to warm up now. Yeah. Because I sound like Barry White today.
Oh, Danny boy... the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go and I must buy.
The One Voice was a totally bizarre album. Album number 31 in my life. I was a little machine when I was a kid. So it's me singing with my boy voice. And I thought that I'd released 16 albums as a child. And one night I was up in North Wales with my mum and dad. And my dad had a few glasses of wine. And he said...
Stolen from a rider.
Yes, yeah. Stolen from somebody's rider in North Wales. Petula Clark's rider. Yeah, he's onto something there. He never goes to see the concerts. He just nicks their booze. Typical of my dad.
Petula Clark's rider has got to be the name of a band or a boat or something.
Or a TV show.
Yeah.
My dad said, no, there's a 17th album that you recorded but was never released because your voice broke in the airing cupboard. And so off I went to the airing cupboard, and I remember telling you last time that this DAT tape was there sandwiched in between my Spider-Man pants and socks because my mum doesn't throw anything out. And I listened to it, and it was the first time I'd really kind of acknowledged what I'd done as a kid. And it was almost like a proud grandfather, you know, having the grandson on his knee going, gosh, you were quite good, you know. And I listened and sang along with it, and all of a sudden everything seemed to click into place. Went to the studio, and for the first time in my life, 31 albums on, singing with my boy voice, every hair on the back of my arms and neck was standing on end, same with the producer. And it just seems to have resonated so much with people, you know. And when we do the concerts now on tour, the One Voice one, we have a screen with a lot of Little Aled footage, and I mean Little Aled, not that sort of footage. You've got that one.
My younger self.
Yes, my younger self. I should learn, shouldn't I, when I come in here? No Little Aled remarks. My younger voice and the younger footage. And so people get to see the 80s and the 2017 mingling together, hair and really terrible clothes.
That's adorable.
Thank you.
And I shall sleep in peace until...
In terms of the technology to bring this all together live on stage, is that tricky or is
it's quite tricky.
Because timing would be critical. And
yeah, well, my musical director is actually in the air as we speak, coming from New Zealand.
Walking in the air.
He's probably sitting down with a glass, actually, but knowing him. But he's put the albums together, so he knows them intricately. We've got one of Australia's greatest guitarists, Matt Withers, who's going to be with me on tour as well, classical guitarist. So it's it's not, you know, full symphony orchestra or anything like that. It's quite intimate in places. But as I say, you then get the 80s coming back at you.
And it's great that you use local artists
it's
when you tour.
It's important, I think, you know, because, you know, it's celebrating him as well. He's Australian, so why wouldn't I do that?
Drag one of your sorry guitarists down
I'd have to pay for them then.
Tight.
You know me so well.
If you had to drop three things and just keep one, would you keep touring, recording, TV?
God, that's the most grown-up question you've ever asked me.
Asked anybody, yeah.
That's really hard, because I love the variety of it all. I'd probably give up everything apart from the singing, because I've done that all my life. Honestly, when I was a tiny kid, I'd find music in everything. If my mum was drying my hair, I would harmonise with the sound coming from the hairdryer. If there was running water in the bath, I would make up songs with the tunes within the running water.
That's probably a neurological
disorder.
Condition. I was going to say asset, but you know.
I've always just sung. You know, from the first moment I wake up, or although now as an adult and I'm here, you know, the first thing I do is check that the voice is okay these days. You know, wake up and you go, okay, the plane hasn't killed me or whatever. And I sing all the time.
Do you write music?
Yeah, I do. And there's on the new album, One Voice, which is coming out here next year. So confusing.
So what did you call it? One Voice again?
I called it Believe, because it's sacred music.
Okay, right. Yeah, okay.
I've written a track on there as
well. Oh, great.
So I write quite a lot.
You write with the piano?
I write with the piano, yeah. But okay. It's funny because I often write if I'm on tour, because you'll do a sound check and there's very often a really nice piano on stage and everyone else just goes away and lives a life. And I'm often backstage on my own. So I go on stage and I write very often in those occasions.
Tair serfo wedat ar hyd y nos. Dyma'r ffordd i frog o goniant ar hyd y nos.
If you're just joining us, you're with Dee Mason on Joy 94.9, and I'm having a chat with Mr. Aled Jones, Welsh choir boy turned fully grown man singer, who is touring Australia this October. He's just released his 31st studio album, One Voice at Christmas. I was Google stalking you on the YouTubes last night, and I thought, you're just going to have to run me through what the heck is happening here. You did an appearance on the Michael McIntyre show called Send to All.
Yeah, it was horrendous.
Can you explain is it for reals?
It's for real. So I'm in the Palladium, I think I was, one of the biggest theatres in London, and you're in the Royal Box bit, and you then hand over your mobile.
Do you know this is going to happen?
I knew he was going to take my mobile.
So you cleaned it up?
Oh yeah, no pictures. I took all the photos of you out.
Right, yeah.
In various stages of undress. Yeah. Right. And, you know, you hand over the phone to him. He literally has your phone on stage. Yeah. And he then texts everyone in your contacts book.
Send to all.
And it was, hi, this is Aled. I'm having a midlife crisis. I'm thinking of having a tattoo. What should I have and where should I put it? Well, honestly, the ones that made it to air were vaguely clean. There was a lot of snowman on your backside kind of.
Well, that one did make it to air.
Yes, that did make it to air.
Spread across your two cheeks, I think.
It was, yeah. That was actually my radio boss that said that. I'm sure he really regretted it afterwards. But there were so many that didn't, that were, you know, completely.
And it is
filthy.
Live to air. Yes. Not live to air, but he records it live.
Yes, and then reads out to the crowd there the really, really rude ones that don't make it to television.
Right, yeah. I'd watch that.
Yeah,
I have. I watched a heap of them after that.
It was
quite good fun. And I thought, well, certainly your friends must have known that you were going on that show.
No. You're not allowed to say.
Oh, it's so weird.
No one was really shocked that I was going to get the tattoo, and that was the thing that Michael McIntyre said. You know, everyone had advice as to what I should have and where. Unashamedly, I love Christmas. And it's not just because I've always been associated with the snowman and that
time
of year.
What is the snowman thing?
It's a cartoon. You must have seen it.
No, I have not seen it. Because I saw him in the booth next to you at the McIntyre show.
Yes.
And I was like, what's that about?
Oh, that follows me around all the time. It's a cartoon about a boy and the snowman comes magically to life. It works a lot better when you've had a drink. And you know, they go on a magical adventure. They go and see Father Christmas. And the song, Walking in the Air, is the moment that the boy and the snowman fly together.
E.T. style.
Yeah, E.T. styly.
Yeah.
And then the snowman melts and dies at the end.
But you've got him forever tattooed on your ass.
I have. So both cheeks.
That's great. Spread eagle. The album is called One Voice at Christmas.
That's seamless from snowman on your ass to one voice.
One voice, two cheeks.
That's what Ella should have
Jones.
Called the album. One voice, two cheeks.
You've got another album in you, mate. I wouldn't worry about that. There's more opportunities. Have you got time to play a really quick game I like to play with all my guests called Name Dropping with Ella Jones?
Okay.
You have famously sung with Dame Joan Sutherland, and I know that you sang at Bob Geldof's wedding.
I did.
Have you met, you can just say yes or no.
Okay.
Feel free to add a one-word descriptor.
Okay.
Tom Jones?
Lots of times.
Queen Elizabeth II?
I should just say Tom Jones isn't my dad, by the way.
No.
I had to ask my mum.
Jones, common as muck.
Yeah, well, of course.
Queen Elizabeth II?
Sung for her about 15 times.
Princess Diana?
I sang privately for the Prince and Princess of Wales in their living room when I was a kid.
David Bowie?
I stood behind him in the official photograph of Bob Geldof's wedding.
Creepy.
It was amazing.
He's one out of the box. Donald J. Trump.
Don't know him.
Tina Arena.
What does the J stand for, I wonder?
Jerk.
I set that one up for
yeah,
you.
Right.
We'll do that on our TV show.
Yeah, sorry. That's right.
Tina Arena, I would love to sing with her, and I followed her on Twitter hoping that she would follow me back, but she still hasn't.
I'll get on to her.
Please
about that.
I would love to do a duet with Tina Arena.
Petula Clark.
I've interviewed her many times and she's gorgeous.
Yes, yeah, she's heaven. Michael Ball and Alfie Bowe.
Never heard of that. Yeah, I know
that's
Michael.
That's exactly what they said about you.
Was it?
Yeah. I had them sat right here and I said my favourite interview last year was Ella
Jones.
They
would have hated that.
And they were like, who?
you see, it's tough, my business. Now, I've known Michael and Alfie for years and years. I live in the same village as Michael.
Right.
But well, we don't live in the same house. It's only
no,
a rumour.
No, that's a bad rumour that's been going around for a long, long time. Have you met the Wiggles?
And there used to be a store in Sydney Airport. And I remember once coming here on tour and then walking through Sydney Airport and Jeff, the Chinese one that used to sleep all the time, was walking towards me. And I had a moment.
Did you say wake up, Jeff?
And all I didn't know.
Like, all the shit that people say to you in the air.
Yeah, he went walking in the air. Yeah. And then we had a massive punch up.
Did you meet Pavarotti?
I sang with Pavarotti.
Really?
It's my biggest regret, okay?
Little Allard or Big Allard?
Little Allard.
Yep.
Basically, I thought I was singing a duet with Pavarotti. I got to Paris and unbeknownst to me, I was singing the first part of the song in Paris on TV and Pavarotti came in from Italy.
Oh.
So we sang the same song, but not in the same room.
Okay, well, you're used to that now with your little duets with yourself.
I know, but I would have loved to sing with Pavarotti.
Any or all of the Beatles?
I've met Paul McCartney many times, and that's it out of the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah.
If and you could perform a duet or collaborate in any way with any artist living or dead, who would you pick?
Well,
just
I'm,
one.
I'm sitting in front of her now, of course, when we take over TV in Australia.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought you were getting your pen out to write that down now. good idea from Ella Jones, senior.
It's all on the record.
Do you know what? I don't know. I'd quite like to do a duet with Andrea Bocelli, because I never have. But again, there's no point planning any of these things because then they never happen. Mm. So I just let life go and see where it takes me.
Well, I, for one, am going to start lobbying the Australian television industry to get you a show over here because I think that'll be fun. We do not have any variety program in Australia at the moment.
Gosh.
There's no nighttime variety show. There's a couple of desk panel shows, sort of newsy kind of thing. But we used to, that great tradition of, you know, variety shows where you get acts come out. So if an act comes to Melbourne now, there's no show that they can sort
you
of
see, and I love that because that's what I do in Britain. I do long form interviews. So for TV, it's like 13 or 14 minutes. So I love doing that. You know, the fact that you have to go and see the show, you have to read the book, you have to, and then that feeling that you know everything about the person that's sitting in front of you is lovely. And that, I kind of thrive on that. So yeah, no, bring it on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it. Welcome to the Ella Jones Hour.
Yep.
On Australian television.
Little Allard.
You would set up shop in Melbourne, not Sydney, I trust.
Of course,
because you know about that, don't
you? Yes, I do. Yeah, you told me about it.
Ella Jones, thanks so much for joining us on Joy 94.9.
Oh, thank you so much for having me again.
When I'm lonely, dear white heart, black the night, or wild the sea, my love's light, my foot old pathway to thee, that we are of one more, that we are of one.
Ella Jones is performing his tour One Voice at the Melbourne Recital Centre on October the 4th. You can get tickets via livenation.com.au or at melbournerecitalcentre.com.au. His most recent album is called One Voice at Christmas, and it's available in Australia from this Friday. You've been with me, Dee Mason, and this is Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
My name is Alec Jones. I like to pick my nose, I do. I like to pick my bum, especially with my thumb. Ow.
That's all I'd hear for 4 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.